love, love. We're going to... Chan Poling has to be on our list.
Of course he does.
This is his song.
The Suburbs,
Yeah, the Suburbs that we have used
for years. 22 years.
Love is the law. Years.
Well, anyone who was on vacation yesterday has come back to a big surprise.
A big one.
We really, though, we have to... Julia and I both... talked to each other this morning, and I'm like, I feel so overwhelmed with love and so many kind, sweet, lovely messages. And there have been a few that have been
like, this. Thank God you're going.
No, what the hell? This is not okay. You're the only thing that makes me happy between 3 and 6 every day for all these years. But email and social media.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
I mean, it's just
text messages from everyone.
And then the media were the only thing that made me sad is that, like, true celebrities, our ages were printed right next to our names.
You said it. That was the thing when we made the announcement yesterday at 4, you said your age, and I'm like, that is the very first time ever.
Yes, because I'm like, wait, don't give people reasons to judge you, and people judge you with numbers.
They kind of do, don't they?
They kind of do, but here, this was an email that, I don't know, I think, you know... It doesn't typify, but it typifies in the sense that a lot of people have listened to a long, long time, to us for a long, long time. And we're in their head, we're friends. They know us. They like us. Someone said, who are we going to get our Scientology information from?
Our Elvis information.
Yeah, but this is from
trash information.
This is from AJ. In 2003, I was in 5th grade, and my family had just moved to Savage. Being the new gay kid in school who didn't know who he was gay was really hard. I loved things like television and pop culture, and as a boy, it was hard to fit in being who I was. I wasn't making many friends, and as a latchkey kid, I would come home and turn on our kitchen radio, you know, one of those Bose radios everybody had, and listen to these two hilariously honest girls who liked what I liked. My new friends after school quickly became Lori and Julia. You not only helped me smile, but also helped me embrace who I was. And I'm proud to say I've been a loyal listener ever since.
AJ, that is so sweet.
So 21 years, because we came on the air in 2002, but I mean, that's... typical of a lot of messages. People have said, you got me through divorce, marriage, birth, disease, my parents dying. I mean, we've all gone through a lot together, and we've shared the stuff that mm-hmm. we've gone through. But I really, really just felt just overwhelmed, and I'm so grateful we get along. Goodbye.
I am too, Lori. You know, and I have to say... you know, John Bream updated his story in the Star Tribune as the day progressed.
Oh, he called me after the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he listens to our show. He's not only a longtime music critic.
Longtime contributor to our show.
I said, yeah, John, rock stars and music critics don't really need to retire because your schedule is your own.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Our schedule is not our own.
But he wrote a lovely story. Ross Rayla wrote a lovely story in the Pioneer Press.
Minneapolis St. Paul
wrote one. We just were interviewed with
Jana Shortle at Care 11.
And her program's at 6:30 on Care. And she told us tonight at the end of her program, she's going to air tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. At the end of her program, she's going to air our Zoom interview that we just had.
And then Jason, you know.
Like, oh my gosh.
Almost a whole hour talking about us, and then on his TV show.
Two segments. I heard him this morning because I got up so early, and they're like, two segments, Lori and Julia, two segments. And the classic Lori. And then on his TV show.
On his TV show, and he showed the very first photo of us wrapped in caution tape from...
Shock Without the Jock.
That was our tagline.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota Monthly came up with that one way back when.
Yeah. And so he showed that picture, and I mean, honestly, he made me cry. I can't believe how much I've cried. I didn't think I was going to do all this crying. I'm going to be a mess by the time this is all over.
Amelia Santanello sent us a dart. Jane Haugen Olsen, Steph Hansen, Steph Martin, you know, everybody, Allie Cap. I mean, and all of our colleagues here have been beyond wonderful. And Grant, I just want you to know, you are mentioned in so many of the tributes on our Instagram page and our Facebook page. Why don't we just have a Brittany and Grant show?
And they don't know what they're doing yet. I'm sure they're having meetings.
But
thank you, Julia.
It really...
And everybody.
Yeah.
Well, you guys...
I've had so many tears. I want everyone to know right now that's going to Iceland with us. We are going to Iceland.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
We are going to Iceland in October. We cannot wait. There's a couple spots left, but we are going.
Heck yeah.
Grant Whitaker sent us the funniest...
Oh, we gotta play this.
Play it. Okay. This is Grant, our fashion catalyst, who's been on with us forever. And Harmony Kaplan wrote us the sweetest thing. Lori has it. Grant's like, I have this?
I have it.
No, okay. we have it on our phone.
And Grant was in, of course, the audience favorite award-winning movie that we did for Project Down and Dirty, the unbelievable joy of being
delusional.
And wasn't he Grant's House of Girls?
Yes, and he taught us how to be fashionable because we'd gotten an invitation to sing on stage with the Beach Boys and we needed some coaching.
So here he is.
Wait, let me do one thing and make sure my media volume, Julia.
This is going to be good. Up. We're just going to wait.
Okay, there it is. No, okay. I'm so prepared.
It's hysterical.
I can't believe I'm actually
so prepared.
This is the first time I've ever played audio from my phone over the airways. Yeah. Big darn deal.
First for everything.
Schönen guten Morgen. I wanted to take the time and tell you both how fabulous you are at becoming really true. Girls, thank you for coming to Grant's House of Girls and making sure that you know that you are the stars that you are. I celebrate you in your 22 years of success. I can't wait to see you and do a little partying in your celebration. You are fabulous, you're wonderful, you're special people, and you are so loved.
Aww.
Thank you for everything. I love you both.
I love you.
Very proud of you.
We love you.
Oh, how about that?
And you know, we've been working on kind of like our wish list of people who have been, you know, we had contributors right away. The media just stood behind us and loved us up right away. And so we have so many people that are going to be joining us in the next
few
months.
A lot of special guests.
Yeah, we are.
I've invited a number of musicians already to appear on the show and bring their guitars.
Come on, Pamela McNeil. I mean, everybody has reached out. And if we don't mention your name, I mean... Boy, did we feel the love. There's so many. I was overwhelmed, Lori.
Yeah, because
and
also...
our advertisers, we thank them. They've hung with us forever.
Yeah, forever. And at the beginning, when there were no ratings or anything. And I think, you know, the other thing that I was really struck by and overwhelmed by... You laughed at me yesterday when I said it a couple times.
Oh, this is because it's you. It encapsulates you, Lori.
But Julia... But people are extraordinarily fond of us and we mean something to them and people are heartbroken about our leaving. And that is like that means we have everybody's heart in our hands, you know, and like I never realized that.
I'm looking at you because Lori's going to start crying right now.
I'm just saying.
I know that we have a connection. I don't. Think other people have been able to experience because we're with them. We hang out with people 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
And for those of you hanging in there the whole time, thank you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that. And I was just making fun.
But it is true.
And we have our connections with our listeners.
Yes,
too.
Very much.
We didn't
so.
Know what to call our listeners originally.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to say anything.
The listeners felt too passive.
We always said
our radio friends.
We said thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah. That was our tagline always. Thanks for hanging out with us. We can't because we didn't. It's a relationship room with people.
It is.
All right, Grant, who wants to chat?
One quick before we go to commercial break. Jonathan's going to take the last word to say thank you to you guys.
Okay, Lori and Julia. First off, from all of the listeners that listen to you every single day. Thank you for giving your life to us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives. You two have brought nothing but joy and happiness to Minnesota, even through the crap times. And you have been nothing but kind to me since the day one that I called into your show. And I just wanted to say thank you to the both of you because you two really have been nothing but role models for people in the Twin Cities. And I'm sure you'll hear from me once again before you leave. I just wanted to say we love you and God bless you and happy retirement. You're not in the grave yet, but go ahead and have a great time.
Oh, you know you're dear. Oh, thank you so much.
You better come to the big party.
You got it.
Oh, thank you, honey. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is Lori and Julia, my talk.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
All right, that's that guy again with that weird name. We play that song every day this time.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, one more thing before we move on to the legendary Carol Burnett, who was on the entire show of Stephen Colbert last night. It was just wonderful. But
it really was.
Some people on our social media and emails and stuff just said, you've given so much to us. What can we do for you? Not everyone, but a few people.
I didn't read that once, but I love it.
Yeah. And so I'm speaking for both of us when I say that I would like this showbiz dream. It's going to have to go viral to make it happen.
All
but
right.
Carol Burnett. I want Carol Burnett to host SNL, and I want Cher to be the musical guest. And of course, they'll do skits together. It'll be the highest
rated.
And
Dolly can be a special guest.
She
can get her own love.
Yeah. And I would love, if we could do that, that would be
the ultimate showbiz
flex, but we would need everybody's help.
Would.
All the other shows. Everybody, but anyway, I'm going to start with a few tweets, but that's my show.
We need
dream.
A hashtag. Hashtag SNL share.
Legends. SNL legends.
SNL legends.
Mm-hmm. Lori, I love that. And we started a list of legends we want on the couch because there's so many. I mean, even listening to Carol last night.
Oh my gosh.
They have so many rich stories. And I think of Marie Osmond and Donnie, all their stories.
Yes, yes. If we ever start another show, it'll be Late Night Legends.
We did have Phyllis Diller once.
Yeah, I know it. I know. But that's just a selfish showbiz dream. But I think it would make the world so happy.
I think it would too. That's a good one.
So Carol Burnett, of course, is promoting Palm Royale, which dropped last week on Apple with three episodes and then weekly on Wednesdays. And Stephen Colbert, you've been in this studio. This is the old Ed Sullivan studio. Basically, I know you've performed here. So he has her tell the story of one of the first times she was in this space.
And of course, so many people came on this stage. Matter of fact, where we're sitting right now, the Beatles performed up center there. But we've been told that Elvis performed right here with the Jordanaires behind him, where this desk is. Did you ever meet any of those big men?
Well, I was on when Elvis was on, when he was in the Army. And they did a whole big thing when he was in the Army on the stage. And they put me on first. Nobody wanted to see me. I mean, it was Elvis. Where the hell is Elvis? We want to see. I bombed. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Terrible. I can't imagine.
It was awful. Yeah.
But did you say hi to him?
I met him. He was very sweet. And I got his autograph for my kid sister.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's cool.
It is. And then, now this is, of course, now I did a little Googling for this next story.
Yes.
But it is such an epic story. So there's a guy by the name of John Foster Dulles.
Okay.
And he was the Secretary of State under Eisenhower from 53 to 59.
Okay.
And so there's a story about Carol Burnett, I think Elvis is included, a song, and this, you know, he was a politician, a lawyer, and a diplomat, being the Secretary of State. So here we go.
Elvis inspired the song that you did called I Made a Fool of Myself.
Over John Foster Dulles.
Right. I know this song. I've heard this song.
Yes.
But for the people who don't know, tell the people, who John Foster Dulles was.
John Foster Dulles in the 50s was our Secretary of State, aptly named.
Dulles.
He was so dull. He was really, there was nothing there. And I remember he wore this overcoat and his hat and never smiled or anything. So I was doing a special material song that a friend of mine wrote called I Made a Fool of Myself Over John Foster Dulles, which was meant to be like everybody was going crazy over Elvis. So he wrote this song about this young girl going crazy over John Foster Dulles.
Elvis Dulles. It's a very short jump there.
Well, I did it on the Parr show, and then I was working at a nightclub, the Blue Angel, and I went back to do the second show, and the phones were ringing off the hook, and one of the calls was from David Waters, who was Mr. Dulles' press advisor, and as he said, Mr. Dulles didn't see it, but could you go back on the Jack Parr show and do it so that he could see it? So I went back, I did it again, and then I did it again on the Ed Sullivan show, and all hell broke loose. I mean, it was in front page news. Who is this girl singing about the Secretary of State?
Well, did you ever, did he ever like say anything to you about it?
What happened? A week later, I'm home and I'm watching Meet the Press and Mr. Dulles is on. And, you know, and he's where all the difficult things that they're talking about in the world today.
Sure, sure, Cold War.
And so at the end of the program, the guy said, Mr. Dulles, would you tell us, Mr. Secretary, would you tell us what's going on between you and this girl that sings that love song about you? And I'm like this, glued to the set. And he said, I make it a policy never to discuss matters of the heart in public.
Okay, that's a great line from a dull guy. Good for him.
That's nice.
That's what she says here.
That is nice.
So he did have a sense of humor.
Oh, what a great, great story. And then do we have time for this last one?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Okay, this is where she talks about the costuming on Paul Mareuil and also the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, great.
The costumes on the show are
gorgeous,
incredible works of art. Here you are. Uh-huh. Here you are as Cleopatra for some reason. Here you are as Marie Antoinette for another reason. And you've always had fantastic costumes.
Bob Mackie.
You work with Bob Mackie. I'm just curious, how does the costume inform or change your performance?
Completely. There were times when I didn't know how I was going to do a character until I went to the costume fitting and Bob Mackie put me in what it was that he was going to design. Like, for instance, Mrs. Wiggins.
Sure. That tight dress.
Yeah. Originally, Tim Conway wrote those characters. And he had written Mrs. Wiggins to be this kind of doddering old lady.
Sure.
So I went into costume fitting that week, and Bob Mackie said, we've been doing a lot of doddering old ladies. Like, let's make her into this bimbo, whom the IQ fairy never visited.
The IQ fairy. I've never heard that before.
And so he put me in a blonde wig and the push-up bra and the tight, tight skirt. But it was an old skirt that he'd had, in the costume department. And it bagged in the behind. And I said, also he put me in these stiletto high heels. And it was, the skirt was tight around the knees, but it bagged in. And I said, Bob, I'm flat back there. You're going to have to take this in. And he said, no. Stick your behind into it. And I did, and that's how the walk happened.
And that, work in the suit.
And that gave me my character.
And of course, she was like kind of this hussy bimbo older woman.
Hysterical, Lori.
Very full of her sex appeal.
I can see Melissa Peterman playing a character like that. Totally.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen people dress up as some kind of version of her. They might not know they're being Mrs. Wiggins from the Carol Burnett show, but they dress up like the sexy granny that's, all of a sudden can stand up straight and, whoa, look at those boobs, But anyway, she was just an absolute joy
she
on that couch.
Looks amazing, and I'm with you. Hashtag legends on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it. All right, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for Hammernix Flooring Solutions. I talked to Lynn today. The owner, Lynn Nady.
He's like, what are you two leaving a job before me?
I know it. They're a family-run business that her and Ted have built. And boy, they have built an amazing flooring superstores. They have three of them in the Twin Cities, in Hudson, on Rice Street in St. Paul, and on Bass Lake Road in 169. And their philosophy has always been, we take care of our own, we take care of our own. And, you know, they take care of their customers or their own, their suppliers, their vendors, their workers, their team. Everybody is family there. And we just want to thank them because they've been a partner for a long time with us. And it's been really something mutually beneficial. And they have such great product there. If you are interested in great flooring, great product, great service, great countertops, they have it all. You must go in and see one of the flooring superstores and tell them Lori and Julia sent you.
Okay, our readers, it's time for another edition of the Low J Book Club. We are delighted to have a wonderful author, Kate Claiborne, is joining us. Maybe you've read one of her books, Georgie.
All the way. Oh, no, it's All Along.
All Along.
Sorry, Kate. Kate, we're already messing it up.
but you've got a new book that is, the book birthday was yesterday. It's called The Other Side of Disappearing. This is the first time that we've read your book, and already you're a favorite author. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so honored. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to talk with you both.
Oh, thank you. And this is such a different book for us. So set it up for everybody, and then we'll get into the details.
Yeah. Well, so The Other Side of Disappearing is a contemporary novel about a woman named Jess Green, who has spent the last 10 years raising her younger sister. After their mother ran off with a notorious con man. Mm-hmm. And at the time, that con man had been the subject of a pretty popular serialized podcast. And Jess has been just sort of living in fear that somebody would eventually make the link between their mother and this con man. So she has tried to live a very private life to never attract the attention of anyone, especially the media. But when her sister makes the connection and contacts the podcast host herself, they go on a road trip to find their mother. But there's a very handsome podcast producer on the trip as well, and he and Jess fall in love over the course of the trip.
I have to say, Kate, you know, I don't know that I've ever read a romance that's also a compelling mystery.
Yes.
I don't think I have. And I love that those two things are together. And I also, the thing about fascinating this woman who has this true crime podcast and that whole aspect, because that has been such a popular thing for the last few years. You know, anything, you know,
it's been
true
way
crime.
Before, oh, the true crime, podcast, everything.
It's something that people are interested. So I was also, you know, it was felt like, you know, just that mystery romance and then also that podcast media angle was just so intoxicating.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, like I had been thinking a lot about these true crime podcasts mm-hmm. and true crime documentaries and kind of what they are doing in our society and why in particular they are so directed at women. I was thinking a lot about that in the culture and just kind of wanted to explore it a little bit in this book in relation to kind of privacy and things like that. And I'm really proud of it. It was a tough book to write, but I'm really proud of how it came together.
Did you do a lot of research for this book?
I did. I always do quite a lot of research, much of which never makes it into the book.
Right. But you're prepared if it does.
But I'm prepared. I ended up reading like a ton of books about sort of like lifetime confidence men. Mm-hmm. So that included reading books from like sort of about the history of confidence men and mm-hmm. some of like the special language of confidence men that developed over time, and just how it's sort of a strange art form in itself. Mm-hmm. And I read a lot of books like that, which was not necessary, but I sort of got wrapped up in it for a while.
Yeah, and it is interesting because I think just recently in the last little while, people have started to realize that a con man really is short for confidence man, that somebody is so good yes. at selling their BS that they confidently take you down the path of believing.
And thank you for saying that, because you're right, because I think a lot of our listeners are like, what are you talking about, a confidence yeah. man? Yeah.
But it's
so true. It's so yeah. true.
And it's interesting, like, thinking about that, you know, as a writer, as, like, a person who writes fiction and works really hard to kind of, like, immerse people in a story, and thinking about, you know, how confidence men do that sort of work as well, but for such nefarious reasons, whereas I'm trying to always do something sort of beautiful and life affirming for my readers.
But your characters, you know, are smart and they're witty, and I love your tagline. If you're just joining us, we are with critically acclaimed author of Georgie All the Way, which was your last book, Kate mm-hmm. Claiborne.
No, it's Georgie and then All Along.
God bless it. We can't get it. And I have dyslexia, which is really fun yeah. for this job, by the way. But Kate, I love, you know, your line, books that make you laugh, cry, and happy sigh. You know, and this one had such an interesting twist, like Lori's talking about. We've never read anything like this and mm-hmm. just loved it. And the book's name is The Other Side of Disappearing. I'm going to get that one right for you, Kate.
Yes.
And, you know, you have been featured in the New York Times, The Post, NPR, Oprah Magazine, mm-hmm. Entertainment Weekly. And you, by day, work in education. Do you still do that?
I do, yes. I still work in education, and it's a part of my life that's really important to me. Sometimes it makes weeks like this very busy, but it's very rewarding.
Are you a teacher?
Yeah. I am, yeah.
I also want to compliment you on the very wonderful observations that you made about the other guy that's involved with the podcast, the love interest, Adam Hawkins. I loved everything about his story, the yeah. football, wanting to do something on his friend. And I loved how you described his beautiful body. And I've been casting it in my mind ever since I decided Reese Witherspoon.
That's really good to know. I was trying to think about, you know, like, obviously the title of the book is The Other Side of Disappearing. Mm-hmm. And the heroine, Jess, is like, she sort of dresses in all black. She kind of tries to disappear into yes. herself a little bit. And I liked the idea of writing a hero who just kind of physically, he cannot disappear. He is, when he walks into a room, he is impossible to miss. And also he is recognizable to sports fans. So his kind of physical presence was sort of a contrast to one of the themes I was exploring for the heroine as well.
So yeah. good. All right, I have a question for you, Kate. First of all, we hope you know that we loved your book, first of all. And we will remember the name of it, The Other Side of Disappearing. The second question is, how did you come up with that title?
Oh, that's a really great question. You know, for a long time with this one, I didn't have a title as I was writing it. Like, I think I was like halfway through it when I started to have to set the title for my publisher. But, you know, often what I do when I'm thinking about titles is I try to see what themes have emerged really clearly as I was writing the book. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that kind of the idea of like privacy and disappearing was a theme of the book. But when I was like at that midpoint, I started brainstorming, you know, phrases or words that I thought worked really well with that word disappearing. And I loved the idea of the other side of disappearing, because so much of this book is about tracking down someone yes. who has literally disappeared. Mm-hmm. Also about kind of rediscovering yourself after you've kind of let yourself disappear because of trauma or fear or whatever. And so once I had it, I was really devoted to it, even though I have to say, this is like some publishing inside.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's a long title. And so you kind of have to, when you are leaning into a long title, you have to think about things like how it's going to fit onto the cover.
Right.
And so we did some back and forth about that, but I'm like so, so glad that this is the one we ended up with.
It's such a good title. And I immediately always want to go the other side of midnight.
Right.
I mean, one of the first books that we read that we stayed up all night.
I read it too.
Of course, Sydney Sheldon. Who didn't? Right. You know?
Yes.
It's a great title though.
Between Sydney Sheldon and Jackie Collins, I learned a lot about Kate.
Yeah. And you, who did you love? So who did you like to read? Sydney Sheldon. Who else did you grow up loving reading?
Well, Sydney Sheldon, I have to say, like, I think I read that and maybe wasn't supposed to.
Yes. Okay. Because you're,
when I was quite young. But, you know, I actually didn't start reading romance until I was like in my 20s. I kind of came to the
genre
bloomer. Really late. Yeah. And once I did, I read so much in the genre, everything from contemporaries. Like, I loved Jennifer Crusie. I loved Susan Elizabeth Phillips.
Oh, historical. Love.
I love Beverly Jenkins. I love Lisa Claypath. Like, I just read so, so widely for a few years. And I just absolutely fell in love with the genre and like what it brought to me as a person. It brought me a lot of joy and a lot of comfort.
Mm.
And I was desperate to try to do that for other people.
Well, you've done very, very well. We're going to read your other books.
Thank you.
Are your other books mystery romances like The Other Side of Disappearing?
No. This was a departure for me, but I think every book I've ever written, I've tried to do something new, mm-hmm. do something different, challenge myself a little.
Yeah.
And I did that with this one, but no, they are not all, they don't all have that element of mystery to them.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I love the marriage of those two things. It was unusual.
It was different. We loved
because
it.
Because I do love a mystery, and Julia loves a romance,
love
and
a
having
romance.
This in one great, wonderfully
one
told
package.
Yes.
And the cover is so great, too. Yeah. We're cover girls.
Oh, I hope you sell it.
We judge a book by its cover always. All right, so we have one last question for you, yes. Kate Claiborne. What's the last great book that you read?
Well, I'm so lucky. I get to read a lot in my work, but I really loved this book called Emily Wilde's Map of the Otherlands, which is actually the second in a series. The first one was called Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies, and it's like a great fantasy romance, and it is so clever and beautifully written and absorbing, and I just love the series. There's going to be one more, and I'm eagerly anticipating the third one.
Oh, that I don't even know about that series. That's a good suggestion.
The author is Heather Foster.
Okay, Heather Foster. Okay, thank you so much. And we just
I just want to say that I have to say, hearing your voices is really lovely for me. I am a Midwesterner, born and raised, and I love to hear your voices. It feels a little like home to me.
Oh, that's really sweet. And we loved reading your book and want to go back and read all the other ones. But the latest and the greatest, and it's a great read, The Other Side of Disappearing, Kate Claiborne. Kate with a K. And Kate, thank you for being on our show. Hey, it's Lori and Julia here for Learning RX with 7 metro-wide locations. And again, always after we are right after a Lori and Julia book club pick, we think about reading. We think of the joy of being immersed mm-hmm. in the book, the joy of words and what your mind can do with them, either by listening or reading. But we're talking about reading here with Learning RX. It's so important in your life. And if your loved one or your child is struggling with it, Learning RX excels in teaching kids how to read, and it's so important their whole life. I can't imagine if I would have had an intervention so young and learned
how my to sister get, says that too, because she was dyslexic
same.
And back
I mean,
then
it would have been so
70s
much,
they didn't diagnose that
it would have been so much easier. But you guys have a chance to go call them, sign up for the 1 hour assessment. It's so eye-opening. It's 50% off when you mention Lori and Julia. Learning RX works. Give them a buzz at 952-949-6900. Oh, was dumb.
Would you mind being
calling us
the musical guest when Carol Burnett hosts SNL if we can get our way, if we can get our showbiz dream?
We got to go back and do the research because Laurie's saying that would just be one dream to be have fun to make happen is have Carol Burnett host SNL and Cher be the musical guest.
But we're gonna
and they
need
would
help.
Do- You think?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're going to be able to do this on our own.
Grant, who were our book winners?
Our book winners were Allie and Kelly. We're our two
great
winners. So.
Congratulations, yeah. Ladies. You're going to love her. She was a great interview. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. And like I said, I've absolutely never read a mystery romance.
And Lori, I've read so many romances, me either. Well, okay. Susan Elizabeth Phillips' last book had a little mystery element.
Yes, it did. It did.
But
it
not.
This was all the way through. It was an integral piece of the romance part of it and all of that. And also, you know, a family trying to hide their mom who's left them.
Yeah.
And ditched them.
Yeah. At such a young age. It was a good book.
It
okay.
Was.
All right, so this story came across a couple of days ago, and you made a promise yesterday on the air that you would share how you can, you know, Halle Berry.
Well, here, I'll just back up.
Yeah, please.
I'll back up.
So, and I remember this day vividly.
So one of the things with having been on the air for 22 years, which is, you know, let's face it, some of our young listeners, it's the length of their lifetime.
My kids were 5 and 6 when we started.
I mean, Casey's daughter called me yesterday and she was like, I want to say maybe 12 when we started.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
And she's like, I remember when you'd have the baker from down the street come on and talk about cupcakes. You just talk to everybody because I'd go get the villager.
Lori, Grant. I have this picture of you on one of our Man Candy Fridays. Mm-hmm. And Lori would go out and she came back with a pirate with an Italian name around a restaurant.
I would meet
Rapalos or whatever.
Would you like to be on the radio? You're so cute.
And so one day, and Donnie and I would just indulge her until we couldn't anymore. This is why I have a picture of you.
Yeah, I know.
And one day she comes in and
I was pretending if I wanted to be an agent, I felt I would cast these two guys in a movie.
And I
met them at Bunkers.
You did. And they come in, and I swear to God, I had to go get them, and I had no idea. Oh, Julia. I'm like, why then? Oh, Julia, it's Man Candy Friday.
Yeah,
doesn't
that's
matter
what it was.
If they can speak. And so they come in. I just remember you didn't know what to do with them.
And
I didn't know what to do with them.
Carol Burnett, maybe the IQ fairy hadn't sprinkled them with much because they absolutely froze in front of the microphone.
It was Grant, you would have
died.
And I just sat there like, Lori, okay. That was fun.
All right. So having been on all this time,
yes.
You know, Julia and I went through everything together because of our ages. And one of the things, and we were always absolutely terrified to say the M word, menopause, out loud.
Hard.
Because, I mean, I vaguely remember my mom and aunties talking about a change. The change that
first
could happen.
First, my mom talking about the first change.
The change, yeah.
And then the second one.
And I remember having my first perimenopause symptom, and I was about 48, and I swear I woke up with panier d'amour, which is sides of love.
Yes.
All of a sudden, I had back side
she
fat.
She did, Grant.
And I had a couple of sleepless nights.
Kind of thickening, as it were.
Sleepless nights, and I was hot. And I was, I don't know, I didn't like it. So I went to the menopause center.
You did.
Which is now called, and I got right away on it, and we talked about it, and I would just say it again, you know, it's this, all the symptoms that lead up to menopause, because I think I
went through it.
I was like
hard.
In my mid-50s before I had my last period.
Same.
It can last a long time, but the peri part
is years,
and it is also for men. They have andropause where their testosterone goes down. But I would say if I were a woman in my 30s, I would go and get my PETT blood levels examined. Progesterone, estrogen,
testosterone,
and your thyroid.
Yep.
And see what you are in your 30s.
Yep.
So you have a base. It's not something, it's easy enough to do, but for whatever reason, women just don't get the care for that, the hormonal
thing.
No
one ever recommended that to us.
No.
Once. Yeah.
And you lost your mind during perimenopause
for several
years.
B-I-T-C-H.
Oh, you were a beast.
Just couldn't. Grant, just
your
couldn't.
Mood was so, and you can't help it. It's like all this. It's like being in
the devil took over my body.
But it's like being a teenager again because you're having this exact influx. So we talked about it, and I remember I was like, I can't believe we said perimenopause and menopause. But
we'd have guests on then. We owned it.
We owned it. And Halle Berry, the other day, I mean, she's a badass for a lot of reasons, but she was with the first lady, Joe Biden, at a thing in Hollywood called A Day of Unreasonable Conversation. And she talked about how she just thought, because she was so hot and good looking, she wasn't going to have any perimenopause or menopause symptoms.
Her ego told her it wasn't going to happen to her.
Mine told the same thing.
I believe it.
But she went to the doctor because she and her boyfriend had had sex the night before. And the next day she was in excruciating pain. And anyway, she talked about that and how her gynecologist really didn't know what to do.
No, he said you have herpes.
Yeah, he told her she had herpes.
Which she didn't. Oh. But she had to go have a conversation with him that she was so upset. Why would you give me herpes?
Oh, yeah.
God. And then they both get tested and neither of them have it.
Yeah. And so she's advocating we have to change the way culture views older women and all of this. But I'll never forget my longtime doctor saying to me, and I want to say I was about maybe 52, and she'd been my doctor for 16 years, and she was retiring. And she said to me, she said, Lorene, I would just like to say that your vagina has been aging very nicely. It's been 16 years. She said, but I'm going to recommend, you know how we moisturize our face? There's a cream that you can be moisturizing inside. And I'm like, La Mer for that, and I use word.
Yeah. I totally thought you were going to tell a different story.
No. And I'm like, what? We're doing? She goes, oh yes, you've got to moisturize this. She said, I wish more doctors would tell people that. Of course, you can't have had a history of breast cancer or whatever, but it makes sense.
It makes
total
sense.
But it's hard, you know. Yeah.
The brand Womeness, Sally. Yeah. They have something for. Yes. For moisturizing down there.
Yeah, but estradiol is like the gold standard if you're allowed to take it. And anyway, and so like if that is a thing that if pain, because painful sex and all this other, not everybody's vaginas are aging nicely. I guess that is the story. And if you want to make sure yours is, you need to get on top of things and demand your pet blood scan.
There we go. And not everybody's vaginas are aging nicely. Well, they all age how they age.
That's right. And there can be issues. And you don't need to stop having sex.
That's a PSA.